hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. As always, this is your show. You live here in Rutherford County. This is your county. And County Mayor Joe Carr is with us this morning. He's here to talk with you about things that you're concerned with. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning. Do we want to go straight to the honeybee report, or do we want to kind of save that for later in the show, Bart?
Well,
it's kind of become a tradition to talk about Joe's beehives, his honey production, what's going on with the bees. I just didn't want to.
The main people are worried about you getting stung, but I think they're fascinated with your cure for arthritis.
I think more people are encouraging the idea that the mayor does get stung, which I can appreciate, and I don't totally object to it. Certainly keeps me on my toes, but it's been hot, as the listeners know, in the month of June. It's been dry. And I was out at the beehive, the apiary, yesterday evening, picking blackberries, by the way. I've got some blackberries out there.
Yeah, so I need to give you that guy's number then.
Yeah. So anyways, we were going to make some blackberry cobbler. But in any event, so I was looking at the
hive. Do you do that with honey from the beehives? Instead of sugar, put honey in
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I bet that would be great.
Honey instead of granulated sugar is always preferred. Always.
Oh,
it's better for you. It tastes better. The answer is yes. Anyway, so I was at the beehive, and they were all outside. All the bees, because it was so hot, were outside the hive, and they're what they call their bearding, which means is they're all up and down the outside of the hive, and they just got these. It looks like a giant beard, about 2 feet long, that extends from the bottom of the hive all the way to the ground, and they're just hanging there. It's really quite fascinating, and they're very, very. When they're doing this, they're not flying around. As long as you don't disturb the hive, they're very docile, and so it's kind of cool. So I got some pictures yesterday.
Now, is this what they do when it's hot?
This is what they do when it's hot. They're trying to keep cool, and what it is so they're coming out of the hive because the hive needs to be about inside the hive needs to be about 93 degrees, and so obviously it's a lot hotter than that when they're in there. So they come out of the hive, so the brood and the young bees can have the room and the air filtration to keep the hive cool. And even they will fan their wings to cool the hive on the outside of the hive to generate airflow into the hive. So
Mother Nature at work.
It's fascinating. So.
Well, now, are they able to produce as much honey with this hot weather?
They're not producing anything right now.
The
nectar flow is over. And so the nectar flow in Middle Tennessee is about April 15th to the 1st of June, maybe the end of the first week of June. Once you see the mimosa and the crepe myrtle bloom, the nectar flow in Rutherford County in Middle Tennessee is effectively over until the fall. And then you have a small flow there. So there is no nectar flow right now. So what they have made in the form of honey stores for us to harvest, is already made. What I'm doing right now, and I wait a little longer than most beekeepers, I let them make sure that it's all the honey is what they call capped. And that's the bees putting a wax covering on the nectar, the honey. And they do that at about 18% moisture rate, and that helps to keep the crystallization. So I wait a little longer to make sure the entire frame of honey is capped. So anyway, we're gonna probably harvest here in the next couple 3 weeks.
So everybody, get ready for honey seed fresh.
Yeah, and just again to remind everybody, pay attention to the large, extremely large green neon sign over the courthouse that says "Get your honey here." I know there are some people out there who are distraught at the idea that I'm selling honey out of the courthouse. All seriousness, I do not, but we'll play along if you want to do that.
What about that blimp I saw that said "Get honey at Joe's"?
Yeah, I forgot about the blimp. Yes, we've rented a large blimp. It said "Joe's honey here." The problem is the blimp keeps moving.
That's right. All right, we have a text
my goodness
question here from a listener, and we do take text, by the way.
Yes.
615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. This person says, I'm concerned with the rising cost of living here in Rutherford County. Now our homes are inching to prices like those in other states, and food, along with clothing and other expenses, they're growing faster than my income. Do we see any change in the future?
The answer to that is probably not, unfortunately. And the reason is that Rutherford County has become a destination point for a lot of people around the United States who share our values and our principles, but for whatever reason, well, I know the reason, it's because our country is more and more divided than it ever has been. And because of that division, a lot of people in states that don't have our values, that have more liberal or progressive values, they're moving here. They're moving here is creating a demand for a limited supply of housing and resources. And so that demand is driving up housing and housing prices. Affordable housing is a function of the market. And the reason we don't have affordable housing is because people want to move here. It's a demand situation. If Rutherford County wasn't in demand, we wouldn't have the challenges reflected in your comment with regard to inflation that we have. But we
so
do.
It's a blessing in disguise.
It's a two-edged sword. You know, it's a great place to live, and people want to move here. And I want people to want to move here. But how do you control the cost of the demand of them wanting to move here? Part of the way, and I've said this for 2 years, part of the way we help control that cost is that any expansion of infrastructure as a result of somebody wanting to move here ought to be paid for by the person wanting to move here, not by the person or the people already here. And that's a real easy thing to understand. However, it seems to be a concept that evades some members of the Tennessee General Assembly because back to the same old wore-out sawhorse, we can't get the same authority that the cities and other counties have in making sure those who want to move here pay for the services that they need so they can move here instead of those who are already here. Until we fix that, we'll have a constant. We're in the squirrel cage on this issue.
Now, we'll never see people getting together on this one, but I throw it out here. This is a thought from a listener. Rutherford County sees continued population explosions, while some counties in Tennessee would give their eye teeth for any growth. Could there be an incentive to get out-of-state people to get a little bonus for going to one of those areas that is not seeing any growth? We'll still get more than our fair share.
The issue isn't financial. The issue is lower taxes. That's a general principle for why they're coming here. The issue is people want to go to good communities that are well-planned, that reflect their values and their principles, right? And that have access to the amenities that they're used to in some of the more bluer states and urban areas, while at the same time not having their freedoms and liberties choked off by an overreaching government. So what do? They, especially young couples with small children, they go, where do I go to find those qualities and where there's really good public education for my kids? You know, at the top of that list comes Rutherford County. The very top of the list is Rutherford County. And so the people go, yeah, you can't give me a $10,000 or $20,000 incentive to go to a less populated county in the northeast part of the state that doesn't have the things that I want. It's not that doesn't bring value to me. What I'm doing is I'm selling my home in California, Illinois, Oregon, New Jersey, New York, wherever. I'm selling my home. I'm cashing out, and I'm moving to Rutherford County. And that's where I want to live because those people reflect the way I want to live and how I want to live. And if I got to pay a little more, I'll pay a little more. But that's what I want for my kids. And so that mentality is driving up demand and reducing supply.
Here's another listener who says, I'm worried about the voucher schools. We've had the best public education here in Rutherford County, and it was just last month, I think, that the Rutherford County Schools had to write a check from their own budget, sort of rubbing their nose in the problem, and that check had to be given to the voucher schools. How can we avoid stopping what works?
So let me correct the that email, that text message, if I could, Bart. It's the charter schools. So the charter schools in Rutherford County get paid up front per student by the Rutherford County property taxpayer for what they believe will be the projected enrollment for the coming year. So we have to write a check. And so of almost $12 million out of the public school system to the charter schools based on an enrollment, not that they have, but what they think they have. And what's sad is this is just another way for, this is just another example of a formula that one sought out. I'm all for school choice and parental choice. I mean, my wife and I homeschooled our kids for over 20 years. You don't need to preach me the value of parental involvement, and that is the number one determining factor in the educational success of our children is parental involvement. You don't get more involved than a homeschool parent who's literally trying to do it right. Having said that, not every parent and very few parents can homeschool. So we have a public school system that stands in the gap for that very purpose. And in Rutherford County, our public school system, led by Dr. Jimmy Sutherland, does an outstanding job. Having said that, the charter schools coming here, they're addressing a problem, quite honestly, that I don't think exists. Now, I'm not opposed to charter schools, but they're trying to fix a problem in Rutherford County that, quite honestly, doesn't exist like it does in Shelby County or Davidson County or Hamilton County. We have the highest graduation rate of any county system in the state of a school system this size, over 96%. So if we're going to have charter schools here, then the charter schools ought to be funded exactly the same way as the public schools are funded. In other words, we get our TISA funding from the state after the school year. So our TISA funding for 24-25 was based on 23-24 enrollment. Well, why can't we fund the charter schools that way then instead of prepaying them? So now, because of this formula, you know, this is on Governor Lee and on the Tennessee General Assembly. The formula is backwards when you got to prepay, because now it has created a $12 million deficit for the Rutherford County public school system. And it's unnecessary. And I just wish somebody in Nashville, whether it was the General Assembly or the governor, would just pick up the phone and call Dr. Sullivan or myself and say, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. What are your thoughts on that? They've never done that. And it's really irritating, because a lot of times they sit up there in the dead gum ivory towers and they come up with these great and wonderful ideas, and they don't ask anybody down on the ground, how are you going to make that work? It's infuriating. My apologies. That was officially a rant.
Here's another question.
I apologize to the listeners.
This listener's asking about private schools. We have some good private schools, they say. How are they getting their funding? Will they get some of the money that's going to the charter schools?
The answer, I don't believe so. And we do have great charter schools. Private schools. Middle Tennessee Christian School, Lighthouse Baptist School, Lighthouse Academy. You've got Franklin Road Baptist, the school out there. You've got, of course, Providence. I mean, I'm sure I'm forgetting several.
But you're saying these schools won't get any of that money.
I don't believe they get that. The bill that you're referencing didn't pass. So that's not law. The charter school bill and the choice school bill were two different bills. Okay, so you're talking about a choice school bill that did not pass the House or the Senate. But we do have a charter school bill that's been in place for a while. So there are two different pieces of legislation.
So the public schools, which are working, they get penalized.
Yeah.
And then the private schools, which are also working, they're more than
penalized.
Well,
they never got it. Yeah, they never got anything from the state, as far as I know. But I know there's a proposal in the General Assembly for them to allow to get something, but I'm not sure what that is specifically, but it didn't pass anyway. It was the same school choice bill, Bart, that said that students from Davidson County could come to Rutherford County and get educated by the property taxpayers of Rutherford County. So that's the legislation the Tennessee State Senate wanted to pass that allowed kids from Antioch to legally to come to Laverne or Smyrna and get educated, and then the property taxpayers of Rutherford County pay for the education of those Davidson County students, not the Davidson County property taxpayers. It's
another
crazy
question here. It says, as our population explodes, our necessities are used up more quickly. Look back to Atlanta. Several years ago, they ran out of water. The lakes went dry. They drank more than the supplies could handle. Their electrical brownouts increased. Too many people and the infrastructure was not there to handle it. Is that going to be us in the very near future?
The answer to that is I certainly hope not, and I don't believe so, and here's why. Chairman Jeff Phillips and Chairman Pettis Reed, they both preside over the Planning Commission, and we are in the last stages of our growth plan, and these are the issues that we are going to address, because those kinds of problems that you outlined that have taken place in not just Atlanta, but in a lot of places, even like Nashville, where the growth has strained the existing infrastructure to the extent that you have now really problems, and in some cases, some rather catastrophic situations as a result. And so what we're going to do is we're putting together a 20-30-year growth plan that can actually work so that, number one, the infrastructure is not strained beyond its current capabilities or its existing capabilities, but two, those who want an expansion of that infrastructure will be required to have paid for that expansion. And number three, and most importantly, we're going to maintain a significant portion of our farmland, because in our farmland is those values that attract all of us to wanting to come to Rutherford County in the first place. So we're going to may hold on to our principles. We're going to make sure that the infrastructure pays for itself, and we're going to make sure that we have a strategic growth plan that assists multi-generations to come so we don't find ourselves in that situation.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're going to pause and check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back and take more of your text messages. 615-893-1450. Don't be bashful. Give us a shout. 615-893-1450. That's the number to text your message to. Our guest this morning, Rutherford County Mayor Joe, is with us. The Bee Man. That's right.
Eat more honey.
That's right. Joe, eat more honey is with us. Stay with us. We'll be back.
We're News Radio WGNS 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
By growing up in the restaurant business and being always around it, it was just something that was just second nature to me. I didn't realize the amount of work that was involved in it. I didn't understand and appreciate all that my parents sacrificed in order to provide for us. And now I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative of the foundation that they laid for me so we could teach others to create what they have done to make it more of a legacy than just a passing of the torch.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den.
Good morning. This earlier wreck still has traffic a little bit slower than normal over here on 40 westbound, trying to get past Fessler's. Still some traffic filtering down from the north there on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. It remains a little bit heavy over here coming in from Hermitage, Donaldson because of that earlier wreck there near Fessler's. Still loading up pretty good with volume on 24 westbound up through Antioch coming in from Murfreesboro. Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on the new menu. Check them out today at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
A few scattered showers and storms at times this afternoon. A blend of clouds and sunshine develops, a high in the mid-90s. Tonight, chance for storms, cloudy, a low near 70. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 74.
There are places where people talk, and then there are places that people talk about. News Radio WGNS is both on air, online, and on the phone.
Hi, this is Ryan with Tire World Laverne, here to serve all your automotive needs in Rutherford County. We welcome all your fleet and commercial accounts, along with all your regular routine maintenance. Tire World, a hometown family business you can trust.
Welcome back. Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr is with us. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. Here's another question. Taxes have me worried. The last tax hike pushed my family's budget to the limits. We're not seeing small increases. These are huge leaps. How can this be controlled?
So a couple of things there. So when, and I said this, the reason we had such a large tax increase a year ago was because when we got into office, and I didn't realize it, but I should have. It's on me to realize that when I ran for office that this existed. I just didn't know. There's no excuse for not knowing, obviously. So, but we had a $64 million deficit, and that is just physically irresponsible to have any kind of deficit, much less a deficit like that. And it wasn't just any deficit. It was a record deficit. It was twice that. It was twice the size of the previous year's deficit. And so I made a, and that deficit exists for one reason and one reason only. The growth that this county has experienced was put on the county credit card, and the credit card bill came due. And we didn't have the ability internally within the county to make sure that those who are demanding the expansion of infrastructure so that to pay for the growth, they weren't paying for the growth. The existing property taxpayer was, and that's the only solution we have. So in an effort to get rid of the budget deficit, we found $25 million in savings in the county budget, but it still left us with a $39 million deficit. And so we had to raise property taxes last year by 26 cents or 16%. I'm glad to say this year, the county on June 24th at 9 a.m. Passed the mayor's proposed budget. That budget includes no property tax hike for the next coming year. So there will be no property tax hike. The county is in pretty good financial shape. But we still have our challenges on the horizon with this growth, and especially with school funding and with a $12 million deficit in the school budget because of charter schools. But there will be no property tax hike this year, and we will be able to continue to provide the services, the quality services, by wonderful county employees that our citizens have come to expect.
Here's an interesting question that sort of fits in with that. And I'm hoping we can understand exactly what they're wanting. When the county downzones a property, will the landowners be compensated for the loss of value?
So I don't know what they mean by downzone. So if
I'm wondering if they mean devaluates the value.
Yeah, I would say this. The Rutherford County property assessor provides a market valuation assessment and market valuation for the property, and then the Rutherford County Commission, based on a recommendation by the mayor's office, sets the property tax rate, and that is how your property taxes are determined. theoretically, if a property goes down in its market value, it'll also go down in its assessment value. And if it does, then the property tax, the property assessor is required by statute to adjust it downward. He's required by statute. And so that devaluation, let's assume for a second, if we got just a second,
because
I know where the, it finally occurred to me where the caller's going. Let's assume that you have a 2,500 square foot house and you have a 1,200 square foot detached garage. Okay, it's a detached garage. And let's say you've had this house for like 10 or 15 years. And let's say for whatever reason, let's say a fire destroys the detached garage. So the detached garage no longer exists. That change in your property should be reflected in the valuation. So you should receive a reduction in your property taxes because that finished 1,500 square foot garage, finished garage, no longer exists. Does that make sense?
Right.
It would be the same way if, let's say you didn't have, let's say you had a 2,500 square foot home and you decide to build a 1,500 square foot or a 1,200 square foot detached garage. That then would add value to the property and the market value and assessment. And so your market value, your assessment would go up. So the property assessor is required by statute to make these reviews on an annual basis to determine if the property's changed up or down and to what extent has it changed. Does that reflect in its valuation?
Okay. Now, they did give us a second comment.
Okay.
Downzoning, referring to the new land use plan being proposed by the county commission. Limiting the number of lots that you can subdivide land into.
Okay, so the county commission, I want to be absolutely correct here, there is no proposal to change the zoning requirement just yet. There's some conversation, but there is no proposal before the Rutherford County Commission or even Hartlepool and the Planning Commission. I know they've discussed it a little bit, and I know it's going to be discussed in greater detail in July, but there is no proposal. So if there is a zoning change, that zoning change wouldn't necessarily change the valuation of the property.
So
it may, but I don't know that it would necessarily.
Are we talking about making the required size of a lot smaller?
No.
So we can add more buildings?
No, we're talking about going the other way.
Okay.
We're talking about, there's been some discussion about going from 1 acre, R15 lots, which is a quarter acre lot, to 1 acre lot minimums, or even in some cases, some commissioners are talking about going to 5 acre lot minimums to basically kind of pump the brakes on the growth a little bit. Because part of the problem with growth is we're putting too many units on per acre. So they're looking at addressing that.
Okay, so we're not doing like Metro Nashville is, of making three big houses on one relatively small lot.
No, we're not. But I want to be clear. Our conversation is only those areas outside the city limits of Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagleville. So we're talking about Rutherford County here. Now, what the cities do, the cities absolutely can go in that direction. Indeed, they have gone in that direction. That's why you see all these apartments.
Okay, 615-893-1450, talk or text, but texting is much better. Here's a question dealing with a whistleblower. We hear about whistleblowers so much, and there is rumor that there's a whistleblowing incident in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. When I hear rumors about it, how will I know if it has been thoroughly checked out? This one is dealing with property assessor's office.
Oh, my.
There's something to this?
Yes, there's something. I, along with the Ethics Committee, which is chaired by County Trustee Ted Beatty, who does a phenomenal job. As a matter of fact, I can't think of anybody I would rather see chair an Ethics Committee than Ted Beatty. And on that ethics committee, along with myself and Sonia Stevenson, the HR department received a formal email complaint requesting a hearing from somebody within the assessor's office alleging and providing evidence of some serious wrongdoing within the assessor's office. And so my understanding is that the ethics committee is going to be scheduling a public hearing to determine, I believe, what their role is in this investigation and to what extent they can investigate and what that investigation looks like. My understanding that that hearing will take place sometime in mid-July.
Is this an open hearing where the public can?
It's an open hearing. It's I believe, and this needs to be confirmed because a public notice has to be made. So until the public notice goes out, it's not official. But I believe the ethics committee is going to be convening on July 17th at 1 o'clock in the Rutherford County Courthouse.
Okay, can you give us some indication as to how serious this is?
I have read the comprehensive complaint and I've read the attachments that were sent to me, and I can tell you that the allegations are extremely serious.
And what do they allude to?
They are, as again, I'm recalling from memory, I don't have the complaint with me, but there are about a half a dozen different allegations dealing with how the assessor's office, it's particularly the senior leadership, was not putting properties on the tax roll, how they were allowing specific people to have their square footage on their homes increased. And according to the complaint, the assessor's office knew this and didn't contact the property owners that their square footage had increased. And so, and I know that personally because I saw my square footage on my home increased arbitrarily by over 1,000 feet. And
the square footage on paper increased over 1,000 feet on your home.
Yes, sir. Which means that my valuation and my assessment, I built my home in 1995, and my wife and I designed it, and I know for a fact what the square footage is, and I know what it has been for quite some time.
Didn't just grow.
No, I've never added anything to it. I did this year, in total transparency, I have built additional barns, but nothing about the house. I'm just talking about the house. But I did, late last year, build a 8x16-foot greenhouse on the back side of the garage. But that's the only addition to the home. So, and that wasn't part of this valuation. But I found, quite by accident, in early to mid-January, that the square footage of my home had gone from 3,750 square feet to 4,750 square feet, and there had been no change or alterations to the home since I've been there for almost 25 years.
Did you ask about that?
I did, and so I sent an email directly to Mr. Mitchell, and he apologized profusely. But when I asked, when I inquired as to how it happened, when it happened, and who made the change, I got no answer. When I followed up with the question about, well, can you tell me then, has this happened to anybody else? He refused to answer. It was at that point that I was contacted some weeks later by somebody within the assessor's office that told me that my situation goes back, I believe they said, to 2015, and that they've known about it. And so I've been overpaying on my property taxes for almost 9 years.
Do you think you'll get that back?
By statute, I did get some of it back. I got 2 years back, but I won't get the other seven.
So you, just because you overlooked it, didn't catch it?
Yes, sir. What I've been told inside the assessor's office is they knew about it, and the policy was inside the assessor's office. And I don't, this is in the complaint, but this policy was not to, if the landowner, property owner calls, make the adjustment, but do not contact them and tell them that the square footage is wrong.
That's written in?
No, sir. It's not. To my knowledge, it's not written anywhere. It was a verbal policy. It was a verbal instruction.
So if you neglected to pay something for that period of time, you would have to pay along with interest. But the alternative, if they charge you too much, you're not going to get the money back, period. you won't get any interest either.
I received a little over $1,000 refund in February from the trustee's office for the 2 years that they say I was overcharged. They say that my square footage has been wrong since 2015, as I understand it. And I'm going, well, why don't I get the other 7 years back? Well, because the law doesn't allow us to go back any further than 2 years. I said, okay, so I overspent several thousand dollars in property taxes because of my square footage. I think the thing that concerns me here more than anything else, Bart, is that I didn't get a satisfactory answer as to was I the only person that has to, because they blamed it on a software problem and a employee that no longer is there. Well, they wouldn't identify the employee, and they wouldn't give me a cogent answer as to the depth and breadth that this situation may exist with other property taxpayers in Rutherford County. I've been informed that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of cases like mine that they're aware of.
So this is what this whistleblower is
in part. There are other accusations. Well, this is just one of about a half a dozen.
Wow. Tell you what, we're going to pause for just a moment. We will be back. And if you don't mind, I know you're not prepared for this right now.
Yeah, I'm not either, quite honestly.
But this is a major item that affects a large
segment. Yeah, this is, and I want to be very, very careful here, Bart. So when we come back, I'll explain a little bit.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. If you have a question, if you have a comment, maybe you were one of those persons who has suffered some loss. Text us with your information, 615-893-1450. Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
A few scattered showers and storms at times this afternoon. A blend of clouds and sunshine develops, a high in the mid-90s. Tonight, chance for storms, cloudy, a low near 70. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 74.
Your Atlanta Braves station.
Hey, this is Ben Ingram. Thanks for listening to the home of Atlanta Braves baseball, News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna.
We are back again, and we'll try to get a little more information on this whistleblower issue that has popped up July the 19th or so is possible.
17th, I believe.
17th.
There hasn't been a public announcement in the paper yet, I don't believe.
You're hearing this right now.
Well, yeah, because I know that because I'm the custodian of the courthouse and all Rutherford County public buildings, they have to schedule that, and so I was aware that they were trying to schedule this. I want to go back to something. So as a public official and elected official, you know, none of us are perfect, and I get that. I mean, Lord knows, Bart, I'm not. I really am not, and anybody who knows me knows I'm not. And so I want to be very, very careful here with regard to impugning the integrity of the assessor. So my situation very easily could be a mistake. It was something that happened. I didn't get wrapped around the axle about it. I got a little irritated that I only got 2 years back instead of what could have been a total of 8 or 9 years, but I understand that's the law. I also, But I think the thing that concerns me was the fact that I didn't get a response from the assessor assuring me that my situation was unique and that it wasn't systemic and chronic. And when I subsequently read this complaint, I found out that indeed there may be other situations in Rutherford County like mine that the assessor's office is aware of, but they haven't contacted these people. And I think that's the thing that needs to be looked into. I want to make one thing very clear. I think there's potentially a very plausible explanation here, and we need to hear it. So an ethics committee investigation in no way implies guilt. It just says, hey, we got an allegation. It's a credible allegation with documentation. We need to investigate it. Please come and answer a few questions for us. And I think hopefully on July 17th, if that's when it is, we can get these questions answered, and then we can get a satisfactory answer, and then we can go about our business as elected officials.
How detailed was this whistleblower's complaint?
Extremely detailed. He had, of course, he worked inside the assessor's office. He had a lot of information. He had a lot of documentation from inside that is public information. None of this is proprietary. It's all public, but he knew where it was, and he provided credible documentation. And also, my understanding, there are multiple witnesses that can testify to the veracity of his claims.
So this is what we're going to be learning about as we get closer to that public hearing date.
I guess I don't know.
I mean, because if it's a public hearing,
it's a public hearing on the 17th, and I just this is a serious matter. I have some information that I can't share that is significant, but I think we need to give. And I really mean this. We need to give our elected officials, all of them, the benefit of the doubt. We need to allow them to give a plausible explanation. And if they can do that, if all of us can do that, then scrutiny is a good thing. And I want it. You know, sometimes it's a little painful because your integrity is brought into question. But I don't think we need to do that. I think we just need to ask some questions and get some answers and find out what the facts are.
Okay, so we will be watching that one very closely. We have just a few minutes left in our broadcast this morning, and this is one of those issues that people are concerned about, because anytime there is a whistleblower issue, you wonder how safe is our investment in the county.
Yeah, and this reflects on all of us. I mean, we all want to be able to trust our elected leaders, and so this reflects, I mean, to the extent any of this is true, any of it, it reflects poorly on me. It reflects poorly on all of us. And I think it's concerning when an elected official potentially maybe violates the public trust. I'm not saying that's happened here yet, but we do have some questions. There are some questions that deserve to be answered.
And so is the whistleblowing report that was made, can the public get a copy of that?
Can they get a? Yes, they can. It is a public document.
The one that Teb Beatty has.
Yeah. Well, the same report that Teb has, and the county commissioners be Craig Harris, Robert P., and Ramel McMurray, and citizen Joanna Medlins. They constitute the Ethics Committee, and then of course I and Sonia Stevenson, HR director, have it. It is a public document. I'm just I'm not sure how they can get it. I have to think
about
that.
But it is available to the public?
Well, it's a public document, so it is available. I just can't tell you how it's available. So does that make sense?
It does. And so as the media, which WGNS is, it would be our responsibility then to let the public know what is in that. Can we publish the entire report.
I don't see why you couldn't. The only thing that might need to be redacted would be the email addresses of some of the people who aren't publicly elected officials. I think that may need to be redacted. I need to find out.
If you could do that.
Let me find out what needs to be redacted. I know it's a public document, so a portion, certainly all of it can be available except for those portions that identify certain individuals, like the committee and their personal information.
We take this as something that we need to do as the media.
So what I will do is I will get with either the county attorney or my chief of staff, who is an attorney, and I will say that you are making a
formal request
right now for this particular document, and I will send you a text message or email today with the appropriate redacted version, if that's what needs to be done.
And we will have that for all of our listeners to study. So that, I mean, an informed public is so, that's important.
Yeah, and I want to underline, this is an allegation. This, with evidence, the assessor's office deserves and absolutely should have the opportunity to give an explanation. And if these charges, allegations to be disproven, that would be wonderful.
We will have that information for everybody so that an educated public is so important.
I'll get
days.
To work on that this morning.
Our guest this morning, this was a surprise ending to the show.
It was a surprise ending. I wish I'd come prepared. My apologies.
I wish we didn't have issues like that.
I do too, Bart, because I didn't get to talk to you about the Forensic Center real quick. Have I got a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
So the state Department of Health undertook a study for a sixth regional forensic center, and they came off the top rope endorsing the need for a sixth forensic center, and a sixth one located in Rutherford County. So this is a great opportunity for us to move something I've been fighting for the past year to fruition. Hopefully we can get some state funding in addition to the funding that we would provide at the local level for a state of art facility that is so desperately needed, not just in Rutherford County, but across the state. So I was real excited to talk about the report. I came and even brought the report, but we didn't get to it today. So maybe next
month.
We'll
have to have addendum to this show.
Yes, maybe next month.
Our guest this morning is Joe Carr, our county mayor here in Rutherford County. Breaking news this morning, and we will have all of that whistleblower's report with the redacted information in that just as soon as it's released to us, and we'll have it for you in its entirety. But the great news dealing with the center coming up.
Yeah,
that is number six.
The state health department has said it's critical that we have a sixth forensic center, and there's not a better place in the state than Rutherford County.
So we all agree on that.
We do agree on that. So that was quite unexpected, but very much appreciated.
Joe Carr, our guest this morning here on WGNS Murfreesboro. We'll see you tomorrow. Hope you have a super day.
God bless.